Please stand. Our service for this morning begins on page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At this time, I will direct you to that proper's insert as we speak together the introit responsively. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The Lord is my strength and my song.
And he has become my salvation.
Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power.
Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy.
You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain.
The place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode.
The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established.
The Lord will reign forever and ever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously.
The Lord and his
rider,
he has come into the sea.
We continue with the Kyrie on page 152. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. At this time, I'll direct you again to your proper's insert as we pray together the collect of the day. Let us pray.
Almighty God the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord comes from Isaiah, chapter 25. On this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
At this time, I'll direct you to your small catechism insert as today we continue our confession on confession. What is the office of the keys?
The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth, to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent.
Where is this written?
This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
What do you believe according to these words?
I believe that when all ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular, when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better. This is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself.
The epistle comes from 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. At this time, we sing together our next hymn, number 461. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Now, I don't know if any of you normally bring a Bible to the church. It's a practice that used to happen, but has kind of fallen out of use in modern days. But I assume most of you are like me, where you simply take the hymn insert, or the propers insert, and you just follow along with the readings because that's what I'm going to say. However, if you were to have a Bible, and maybe this is something that you should do after you leave today, you open up to Mark's Gospel into Mark chapter 16. And directly after verse 8, there would be a heading. At least in my ESV Bible, there is this heading. It says, "Some of the earliest manuscripts do not include 16:9-20. Which means that as our reading ended this morning, that is the end of the gospel. There is no more. Now, some have guessed that people added the extended ending of Mark as an attempt to make the gospel seem more complete. Because if it ends just at verse 8, we're kind of left wondering, where is Jesus? We've been traveling with Jesus from Mount Transfiguration, rather. And we traveled him throughout his entire missionary journey, and he's going down through all of these miracles and all of these preaching gigs and over and over and over again. And in fact, even in our own time, we have been following Jesus through this season of Lent, through midweeks and Sunday services, and we've remembered all that he has proclaimed to us. And if we remember all that he has proclaimed to us, we remember that he said that he would die. Good Friday. But we would also remember that he said he would rise. So here we are. It's Easter Sunday. Mark 15 told us about the Good Friday death and burial. So where's Jesus? We got to see him die, but we don't get to see him rise. Listen again. I'll read it again, just so you can see that I am telling you the truth here. "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, so they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?' And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone. For they were terrified." Here endeth the Gospel of Mark. Come on. Where's Jesus? We get this young man, we get this messenger, and that's it. Who wants their money back? Who actually paid admission? Right. I didn't think so. But we do. We want to get rid of Mark's gospel, and we want to dive into Luke or John or Matthew. At least in those gospels, you get this experience where Jesus is there standing before his disciples and everything is in the right again. But of course, we know that God has a reason for everything. So why did God inspire this short ending? Instead of switching to another gospel account, notice what takes front and center in this little conversation that these women have with the angel. The very last words that they speak, that the messenger, or this angel, says, "just as he told you," that they can find Jesus in Galilee, just as he told you. He encourages the women to simply believe. Now, why would they actually, they do go to Galilee, and the disciples too, and they do meet Jesus out there. They do see him with their eyes. But the truth is that what would actually cause those women and Jesus' followers to go and find him in Galilee is they first had to believe. Because if they didn't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, they wouldn't even have bothered to go and see him. But that's what faith is. In fact, that's exactly what faith is. It's believing in spite of being able to see. And I'm sure you all can relate. You've all come here for a reason, right? You all know that it's Easter morning. You've come here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. And honestly, none of you, nor myself, none of us have seen Jesus. And in the same stripe, none of us wonder where he is. In a few moments, we're going to confess the creed, and we confess every week where Jesus went, right? Crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell the third day. He rose again from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven. We know where Jesus is. His physical appearance has been taken from us because now he rules the heavens and the earth at God's right hand. But yet Jesus has still promised to be elsewhere. But even the greatest in faith need to be reminded. I mean, the women at the tomb, they were pretty great in faith. Their faith causes them to rise early in the morning to honor the body of Christ, and they have no idea what's going to happen. But on that first Easter, you see how much they love the Lord, and you see their faith very clearly. And yet, even in death, yet even in grief, even in pain, these women forget what Jesus promises. They forget that Jesus promised a resurrection. And that happens to us too. We all know how this works, right? When life isn't going right, when finances are out of line, when disease infects the nation, when the government and the world fail to follow God's word, when we get caught in our sin, when a relationship falls apart, when someone we love dies. In those times, we're tempted to think that God is still dead. We're tempted to forget what he has promised. And we're tempted to forget what he has done. Again, you're all faithful people. You've come here today in faith to hear the words of a resurrected Christ. But sometimes through grief and pain, we forget the promise of resurrection. We forget that he will always lift us up out of this world's trouble. We can't help but ask, where is Jesus? In the midst of our pain, we really want to know where he has gone. And it's even not just trouble either. I mean, sometimes the joy of life has the same way of doing this, making us lose sight of what is important, the promises of God. And so what we do in the midst of all of this is we consider that it would be so much easier if we could just see Jesus. If he would just manifest himself and appear before us, that way we could actually see him and maybe like Thomas, right, place our fingers into the nail holes in his hands and place our hand into his side and actually see him with our own eyes. But we don't get that. We don't have that opportunity. Instead, all we get is a messenger. A young man in a white robe. Or really, it doesn't even have to be a young man. And really, it doesn't even have to be somebody wearing a robe. It's just whoever reminds us of God's word. I mean, I'm a young man wearing a white robe. But it doesn't have to be a pastor. It could be anyone. It could be your spouse, it could be a friend, it could be a parent, it could be a grandparent, it could be anybody you come into contact with. But a Christian will come to you and they won't tell you anything new. They won't offer you some sort of comfort that you've never heard before. They don't make your trouble go away. They don't have a magic wand that just poof and all of a sudden life is happy-go-lucky again. In fact, most of the time, they won't even give you a suggestion for some kind of solution. They tell you the thing that you already know, and the thing that your pain or your grief or your joy may have caused you to forget. And that's that Jesus Christ is risen. He is still the King of the universe. He is still in control. No matter what you go through in life, nothing will change this because Jesus has promised. He's never broken a promise. He said he would die and come back to life 3 days later, and what does he do? He goes to the cross. He sheds his blood for you, he dies for you, and 3 days later, he rises for you too. He's missing from the tomb. He said he would give you every good thing in this life, and what does he do? We just sang about it in our last hymn. He lives to give me daily bread. He upholds us through all of life's troubles and all of life's joys. He's our advocate with God, and he ensures that we have all good things in this life. Even especially when we don't see it. He said he would be with us always to the very end of the age. And what does he do? He dwells with us by the power of his word and sacrament. And as his word and his sacraments come to you, he lives with you in your heart. Where then is Jesus? He's in the word of God, spoken into your ears. He's in the pages of Scripture each time you open your Bible. He's in the water of holy baptism that washes away your sin and makes you God's child, setting you into a new life. He's in the body and blood of the Lord's Supper to strengthen your faith and forgive all of your sins. My friends, that's not something you can see. It's something we have to believe. It's something we can only receive by faith in believing the words just as Jesus told us. Because we don't get to go to Galilee to see him with our own eyes. Instead, we come to the church where we see him by faith. Now, by this point, I'm probably beyond doing what Mark did and ending the sermon abruptly. So instead, I'll end it with a question. My friends, I can't prove anything. I can't prove to you that Jesus rose from the dead. He's not here with us. You can't see him. I'm but a messenger to share the word of God with you. But the big question that Mark's gospel wants you to answer as it ends so abruptly is this. Do you believe that Jesus came back to life, even though you don't see? Do you believe that Jesus has power over all things, no matter what they are, including death itself? Then let us confess together. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Please stand. At this time, I will direct you to page 158 of your hymnal as we confess together our God-given faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven,
and he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and he was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, on this glorious day, fill your people with a holy fear at the resurrection of your Son, that we would tremble no longer before the grave, but rejoice and live in the truth of your power to save. Lord, in your mercy. Be with Matthew, our Synod President, Mark, our District President, and all our pastors. Keep them faithful to deliver your people the apostolic gospel of your Son's death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Let us hold fast to the word preached to us, that receiving it with joy, we may take our stand in it and be saved by it. Hinder all who would sow doubt into our hearts, and grant us courage to confess its truth in our life and conversation. Lord, in your mercy. Bless Joseph, our president, and all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil, and do not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy. Have mercy on the sick and those in any need, especially this day, remembering before you those on our prayer list and those we now name in our hearts. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accord with your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy. Give us joy in your Son's great victory feast as he shares it with us from this altar, in the eating of his true body and drinking of his precious blood in faith. Overcome our sin by his forgiveness and swallow up our death in his life, that we may be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort those who mourn with the truth of Christ's empty tomb, that in the midst of their grief, they may abide in the hope of his resurrection. Uphold them in faith as they await the day when you will wipe away every tear from all faces. Lord, in your mercy. We join today in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy, through Christ, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. At this time, our service will be continuing on page 160. Just a little note, we do have a closed communion policy practice here at Christ Lutheran, and so if you are not a member of the LCMS, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I would ask that you either come forward and cross your hands for a blessing or refrain from coming forward until I would have a conversation with you at that time. But with that being said, our normal communion practice
since we do have a lot of people here, is that you are more than welcome to kneel as you want, but this is probably going to take us a little bit longer than normally would on a traditional Sunday. And so we will still dismiss by family, and we will still have small group communion, but just be aware that there are a lot of us here. So bear with us as we continue into the service of the sacrament at this time. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Body of Jesus Christ.
Grace and truth.
True body of Jesus.
may this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. May this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the table of the Lord. God, keeping your vessel of grace and truth on forever. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. May God, keeping your vessel of grace and truth on forever. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. Now may this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. The true blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. True body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for you. Now may this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord. True body of Jesus Christ given for you. True blood of Jesus Christ shed for you for forgiveness of all of your sins. Now may this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for the life of the blessed. Depart in peace and joy your sins. Welcome to the table of the Lord. True body of Jesus Christ. True body of Jesus Christ. True blood of Jesus Christ. True blood of Jesus Christ. Now may this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Welcome to the table of the Lord. The true body of Jesus Christ. True blood of Jesus Christ. Shed for you for forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve your body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. True blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. True blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. Now may this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord. True body of Jesus Christ given for you. You got to keep your vows and grace and truth now and forever. True body of Jesus Christ given for you. You got to keep you in your vows and grace and truth now and forever. You got to keep you in your vows and grace and truth now and forever. True body of Jesus Christ given for you. You got to keep you in your vows and grace and truth now and forever. True body of Jesus Christ given for you. True body of Jesus Christ given for you. You got to keep you in your vows and grace and truth. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you.
true love of Jesus Christ shed for you. The true love of Jesus Christ shed for you. The true love of Jesus Christ shed for you.
Now may this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Welcome to the table of the Lord. True body of Jesus Christ, give it for you. True body of Jesus Christ, give it for you. True body of Jesus Christ, give it for you. True love of Jesus Christ, shed for you. True love of Jesus Christ, shed for you. True love of Jesus Christ, shed for you. Now may this true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ both strengthen and preserve you in body and soul. Life and trust. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. The true body of Jesus Christ. The true blood of Jesus Christ. Please stand. Our service continues on page 165. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn is number 488.
Thank you. Giving, give us the name.